Live on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. It's time for Q&A with DJ Phone. Today's program is sponsored by Prescott College, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and the Prescott Chamber of Commerce. Now, here's your host for Q&A, DJ Phone.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of Q&A. I'm DJ Phone. Got an entertaining show today for you, literally speaking. We're going to open the show by talking about Ghost Talk, but this one's called Ghost Talk 2. Yeah, it's that time of year again already. We'll be talking with Erica Muse about the production coming to town. That's always a lot of fun. And then after the news break with Nick, we have something very provocative I think you're going to enjoy hearing. There's a Wall Street Journal columnist named Jason Riley. He has written a book called False Black Power with a question mark at the end. What he is writing about is the possibility, he thinks, the almost certainty, that national African-American leaders like Jesse Jackson, like Al Sharpton, like Barack Obama, were they doing the African-American community a disservice rather than helping with what they were doing politically and socially? It's a very provocative book. I think it's well worth your time to read. We'll be talking with Jason Riley right after the news break with Nick. Hey, we always welcome your questions and comments to Q&A. Just drop me an email at DJFone, that's D-J-F-O-N-E, at kqna.com. And with the baseball playoffs going on, of course, the Diamondbacks were knocked out by the L.A. Dodgers. And the word today from the Diamondbacks, Tony La Russa is on his way out. He will step down from whatever he's been doing the past season at the end of the month. You know, it became pretty clear that when they fired the general manager and assistant general manager and field manager, that La Russa had a large part in bringing aboard 2 years ago, that he was now on the outside looking in. So I guess now Tony can retire to the Bay Area and just be thankful that during his glory years with the Oakland A's, nobody questioned why Mark McGwire and Ricky Henderson and Jose Canseco were getting so muscular so quickly. Well, whatever begets success, I suppose. So stay tuned. We've got Erica Muse coming up in just a moment to talk about Ghost Talk 2. That's coming your way on Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. Streaming live, you know where, in the words of the immortal Buzz Lightyear, to infinity and beyond on KQNA.com.
For over 50 years, Prescott College has been empowering future leaders to make a difference in local and global communities.
Hi, I'm Courtney Osterfeld, Executive Director of the Launchpad Teen Center. I earned a bachelor's and a master's degree from Prescott College. Today, I am proud to make a difference in our community by inspiring teens to achieve their dreams. My experience with Prescott College provided me with the skills and experience to develop and manage a nonprofit organization.
Prescott College, making a difference globally and locally, starting right here in Prescott.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec B Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Provide value. That's what a CPA can do for you. Hi, this is David A. Snyder, CPA. Now is a great time of year for business valuations. Valuations are for providing a value for your business so you can retire from it, sell it, or expand it. With my ex-military, task-oriented mindset, and over 20 years of experience, you can trust that you can get the most accurate business valuation. Give me a call or visit DavidASnyderCPA.com for more information. You deserve the sharpest in Arizona. David A. Snyder, CPA.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
You know the old saying about being able to smell trouble? Well, Unisource Energy Services has made it easy to sniff out a natural gas leak by adding a harmless chemical that makes our gas smell like rotten eggs. If you detect that smell, don't light a match, start or stop an engine, use a phone, turn on or off lights, or do anything that might create a spark. Quickly, check pilot lights and the stove's burner valves. If you can't readily locate the source of gas, leave the house immediately. From a safe place, call 911 and UES day or night at 1-877-UES4U. That's 1-877-837-4968. If you smell gas while outdoors, leave the area immediately and call 911 and UES. UES technicians will respond right away free of charge. Remember, your nose knows if there's trouble. Trust it. For more safety tips, give us a call or visit us online at UESAZ.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And welcome back. We are live at 307 with Erica Muse. We're here to talk about Ghost Talk 2. Now, this is a joint venture, I understand, from the Prescott Center for the Arts and West Yavapai Guidance Clinic, correct?
That's correct.
How did you get involved with Ghost Talk 2?
Actually, I had a friend who works with PCA, and she also works with some of the local area schools. This is when I was still a high school teacher up in Chino, and she mentioned that I might be available for such a venture.
She mentioned you might be available,
yes.
Right?
Well,
yes. Funny how those things work out, isn't it?
Well, it turned out to be a wonderful, serendipitous recommendation because mm-hmm. it's been a great experience.
Now, there's one thing that interests me about this. It's Ghost Talk 2, the words T-O-O. Why is that?
Well, for two reasons.
Mm-hmm. One, T-W-O, yeah, okay.
One is our amazing former director, Karen Murphy, mm-hmm. Stepped down from it this year, and she did an amazing job the past 9 years.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody loves it, and I love her, and so we wanted to make sure that everybody knew that it was still Ghost Talk, but that it was a little different. Mm-hmm. It was going to continue, so two as in also. Two as in, if you just hear it, you might think the number two.
Sure.
And also for stage two, which is PCA's
second. It's going to be at stage two?
It's at stage two.
The little black
two.
Box theater.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
How cool is that? Well, also, this version of Ghost Talk is being written by or directed by Parker Anderson, correct?
It was written by Parker Anderson and directed by me.
Okay. Very. Mm-hmm. Now, what other shows have you directed or productions have you directed?
This is probably my 10th production.
Really? What else have you been involved in?
Well, up at the high school, we did several shows, but we don't do, well, when I was there, we didn't do the typical, like, High School Musical or Grease or anything like that, or Little Shop of Horrors. We did more what I like to call real life stories. And the last one we did, actually, last May, we did one where it was called While the Lights Were Out. And it was a murder mystery.
Oh, my.
So that's the only time we've done one of those. But previously, we did a show called Halfway Home. That was a kind of a slice of life thing.
Mm-hmm.
We did another one called Allocating Annie. And we did a one act called Phantoms, which we took to state. And we got
very nice.
Got eighth in the state. So that was good. Yeah.
Well, you've got your hands full with Ghost Talk 2, don't you?
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
Tell me about some of the, what are people going to experience when they attend Ghost Talk 2?
Well, it is a series of vignettes, I like to call them. They're historical vignettes, and none of the stories that people will see this year are based on urban legend or hearsay. They're all historically accurate. They're all backed up by historic facts and documents, and that's one of the other things that attracted me to this show when I found out we had Parker Anderson, who is a legitimate historian.
And good director and fine writer, too.
And a good actor as well.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He's a multi talented guy.
Mm-hmm.
So when I found that out, I was even more excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Parker also has a unique talent for riling up the locals with some of his letters to the editor. I always look forward, whenever I see his name at the end of a letter in the paper, I gotta read this.
Absolutely.
I just gotta read this. So
yes.
Yeah, he speaks his mind. I like that. Yeah. But you know what? He's an artist. And artists should, you know, be out there. And they should be willing to disturb the status quo once in a while. And he does that. Well, can you give me an example of one of the stories the attendees might hear?
Sure. We have one story about a gentleman. And his name is actually Jim Parker. And so he was a train robber, a horse thief, and a murderer.
What a guy.
Right?
Oh, my.
So that's
that,
one
that
of
kind
them.
Of story almost writes itself, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
So now these two organizations, West Yavapai Guidance Center and the PCA, they're going to pretty much split the fees, right?
Right.
The ticket fees.
They split and, the proceeds, yeah.
And you're going to tell me a little bit more about the foundation.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Prescott Center for the Arts is heavily involved in promoting theater arts education for our area youth. Mm-hmm. They have a scholarship that they do every year, and it's a competition. So, and they also have something called the Young Playwrights Festival, and mm-hmm. they do a lot to promote theater arts.
Summer youth theater, things like that.
Summer, exactly. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of amazing people involved in the organization, and we all really care about theater, and we all love theater, and that's why we do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's PCA in a nutshell. There's a lot more, but
yeah, sure.
We've only got a few minutes.
That's true.
So
what are the show dates and times, and how do people get tickets?
Oh, sure. The show dates are, we open this Friday, so in a couple
wow.
days here. We have three shows on the 20th and on the 21st, mm-hmm. so Friday and Saturday. And then next weekend, again, on Friday and Saturday, which is the 27th and 28th of October.
Mm-hmm.
And then three shows a night, 6, 7:30, and 9.
Okay. Now, this will all be at Stage 2, right?
Right.
That's the little black box theater in the alley under the light bulb.
Correct.
As Rob White described it, three dumpsters down
yes.
from the main stage.
Yeah.
So we'll not be at the main stage.
Incredibly accurate.
Now, is the gallery going to be involved in it this year?
Yeah, they'll be open. And also, there's sort of a pre-waiting area in the courtyard.
Oh, okay.
So the audiences will be held there in the courtyard mm-hmm. until it's time for the show to start. Then they will be led down to the alley.
Mm-hmm. And if I remember from previous years, part of the fun with Ghost Talk was it coincides with the Day of the Dead,
yes.
the Mexican celebration. So you had things like candy skulls and stuff like this. And isn't it funny how, you know, the American culture, we've always feared, you know, death and things like this and ghosts and zombies and whatever. And other cultures tend to embrace it. Just a part of the life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is fun sometimes. Well, now, You already described your background in theater. You're involved in the field of mental health too, right?
Right.
Is there some kind of a correlation between confronting your fears and it being able to express yourself, say, in theater, and being mentally healthy, do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
As a veteran secondary school theater teacher and director, I've seen firsthand what working in theater can do for kids.
Sure.
And for adolescents, primarily, because I was in high school setting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is going to sound overly dramatic, but as a former
Imagine
drama
that.
Teacher, I've literally seen becoming involved with theater save teenagers' lives.
I can believe that.
I've seen them come in depressed, suicidal, don't feel like they belong anywhere. They come in, they become a part of the theater family. It provides a sense of purpose, belonging, accomplishment, pride in one's work and abilities, promotes self-efficacy. I mean, mm-hmm. the list is endless.
That happened to me in high school. I joined a local theater group and found out, boy, there's other people just as weird as me.
Right.
And all
yeah.
of a sudden, I had a bunch of new friends, and
mm-hmm.
people were admiring me for, you know, what I would do on stage and stuff like this. And like, hey, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But isn't it great, having been both teaching and directing. Isn't it great when you see little kids, the first time they hear the applause or the first time they hear a laugh from a funny line, you can just see their eyes get big and go, wow,
oh, yeah.
I can dig this, can't I?
The energy
yeah.
Between rehearsal and when there's a live audience is,
mm-hmm.
is incredible, the difference, because
and,
they feed off of that. You
and
know?
How about the self-discipline they have to learn to be involved in theater?
Absolutely. And I used to tell my kids, they would beg me to audition for advanced theater and be on stage, and I'd
mm-hmm.
say, okay, but are you committed? Oh, yeah, I'm committed. tell me what commitment means to you. Then we would have that conversation. Mm-hmm. So
and it doesn't mean basking in the applause. It means showing up on time.
It means
being
up
prepared.
When you're sick.
You go. Yeah, indeed. We are talking to Erica Muse about Ghost Talk 2. More coming up with Erica in just a moment on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood and streaming live around the world at KQ&A.com.
Hey everybody, it's Sarah from the Artful Eye Jewelers.
Hey.
Did you know we specialize in beautiful, one-of-a-kind jewelry made right here in our state-of-the-art workshop? That's right. We love creating unique pieces that can be passed down through the generations. Many of our one-of-a-kind award-winning pieces feature stunning Australian opal and other exotic gems. We have pieces in sterling silver as well as white, yellow, and rose gold to fit every budget. So if you're looking for a truly unique, handcrafted gift made right here in Prescott, be sure to stop on in and see us at the Artful Eye Jewelers. We're located in the middle of Withy Row in beautiful downtown Prescott.
Label yourself. With Sir Speedy, window advertising allows your customers to see right through you, which is a good way to draw them in. Sir Speedy can supply made-to-order decals and graphics in nearly any shape or size, even making it look like etched glass. Let Sir Speedy help your imagination run wild and give your windows their day in the sun. To print your business in color, give us a call at 776-4332 or visit our website at sirspeedyprescott.com. Sir Speedy, print, signs, marketing. We do more than you think.
Hi, wonderful community. It's me, Sandy, with Yavapai County Contractors Association. It's time for those home improvement projects, but buyer beware. Don't get sold by door-to-door salesmen and those mail offers that are too good to be true. Before you hire anyone, call YCCA. We have current information on reliable, reputable, registered contractors. One call, 778-0040, could save you more than you think. YCCA, don't start without us.
I'm Joe Vachica, candidate for Prescott City Council. I believe it's time to work towards making Prescott a thriving community, one in which our graduates and professionals can raise their families and grow here. I have a vision for Prescott's future where strategic development balances our water and economic resources. I'm for the people of Prescott. When you receive your ballot around October 16th, vote for me, Joe Vachica, for Prescott City Council. I'm Joe Vachica, and I approve this message. Please remember to mail in your ballot with a vote for Joe Vachica.
Paid for by Joe Vachica for Prescott Council.
Like a trusted friend, the Breast Care Center at YRMC is here for you. Compassion, support, strength. These are the qualities you look for in a trusted friend. These are also the same qualities you will find at the Breast Care Center at YRMC in Prescott Valley. State-of-the-art diagnostic tools, expert care coordination, health education, and support programs are only the beginning. They're combined with a compassionate, caring staff and a private, warm, and comfortable environment. We even have an on-site patient navigator whose focus is to help you with every step of your healthcare decision-making. Choose the Quad City leader for advanced breast care services, including digital mammography, breast MRI, and ultrasound. The Breast Care Center at YRMC, your trusted friend in healthcare. Call 442-8900 or visit yrmc.org.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And we are back live at 319 with Erica Muse for Ghost Talk 2. This is, Ghost Talk is an ode to the history of Arizona, with vignettes focusing on, as Erica said, true stories, historic folklore, urban legends passed down through the years. It's also an homage to the history of theater, with the original scripts featuring a mixture of genres for each ghost tale vignette. In past years, such as cowboy poetry, melodrama, Shakespeare, Greek tragedy, modern performance art, traditional storytelling, and even the American musical. Now, it's a featured event during Week of the Dead. Now, that's a week's worth of activities sponsored by Prescott community partner organizations, including the Prescott Center for the Arts Theater, the Prescott Center for the Arts Gallery, West Yavapai Guidance Clinic Foundation, the Smoke Eye Museum, and the Yavapai Cemetery Association. The Week of the Dead events focus on the history, culture, art, and folklore of Arizona's past, and the Week of the Dead is funded in part by a generous grant from the Prescott Area Arts and Humanities Council. Now, are you from this area, Erica?
No, actually, I'm originally from Washington State.
Had you ever heard of Day of the Dead or Week of the Dead?
Yes, I've heard of Day of the Dead or Dia de los Muertos.
Now, I was from the Midwest, and I moved to California, where I became involved working in the funeral and cemetery industry.
Oh, okay.
And I knew nothing about the Day of the Dead. So, one day, my first year there, on November 1st, the place is completely... We got lines down the block, and I'm going, what the heck happened? Nobody told me this was going to happen. But, of course, it's a custom. You know, Southern California, of course, has a very large Latino population, and that started, I believe, in Mexico, if I'm correct about that. Well, anyway, Day of the Dead is just a huge event, and it's become... You know, it's cross-cultural now. I mean, the whole country is involved in it, especially, you know, we in the Southwest. But with all these events going on, it is a celebration of lives, an acknowledgement of the dead, and it also kind of a tribute in some ways to the afterlife, in a way.
Absolutely.
I know from having worked in cemeteries, every cemetery I worked at had, you know, different sections of a cemetery. One of them had a Korean section in which you'd always see paper money and citrus fruit. We go, what's that all about? Well, they would bring Monopoly money and citrus fruit to nourish and help the spirits in the afterlife. And that's just one of the fun things, you know, about the way different cultures deal with it. So tell me, if you can, about the proceeds of Ghost Talk 2 benefiting children and the nonprofits.
Oh, absolutely. So West Yavapai Guidance Clinic, who shares the proceeds with Prescott Center for the Arts, they serve the greater Quad City area by providing inpatient, outpatient mental health services. Their services range from individual therapy to group therapy, respite for parents, parenting classes, inpatient services, and of course our new crisis stabilization unit.
That's a biggie.
Yeah.
And that is a godsend for people in the police and first responders community, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We're so glad to see that there. And tell us how people can learn more about Ghost Talk 2.
Well, they can go to pca-az.net and buy tickets and read about the times if they didn't quite catch that.
Sure.
And also, I just want to put another little thing out there. If you are coming to see Ghost Talk, which I hope you are, you will definitely be waiting in the courtyard. So don't try to find it.
And that's of the main stage, the old church, right?
The courtyard next to the church on Marina, correct.
Very good. And also, check out the West Yavapai Guidance Clinic Facebook page for more about Ghost Talk and the history of it. Very, very good stuff. Erica Muse, thanks so much for joining us. Also, they can call 445-3286 for tickets to Ghost Talk. Ghost Talk 2, with apologies to Parker Anderson for my little faux pas there. Thanks for joining us today on Q&A. Stay tuned, because we have news with Nick, and then we're going to talk to Jason Riley, who's got a very, very interesting book you need to hear about. That's coming your way next on Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, streaming live around the world at KQNA.com.
James Roush here of Wallach & Volk Mortgage. Are you interested in buying a home and just have a million questions running through your head? The James Roush team at Wallach & Volk Mortgage is here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by appointment. Even if you need to meet on Saturday morning because of your work schedule, we'll be there. Call the James Roush team at 445-8730, Wallach & Volk Mortgage.
License number 00128295, LNS number 16209, Equal Opportunity Lender.
I just can't sleep.
If this is your nightly battle cry, then consider this your wake-up call. Sleep Medicine Solutions understands the frustration and helpless feeling of not being able to sleep at night. But more importantly, they can help. With in-home sleep testing, they get real results in the comfort of your own bed. And if you already have a diagnosis, rest assured, Sleep Medicine Solutions LLC is also your one-stop CPAP shop. To schedule an appointment, call 379-3252 or online at sleepmedicinesolutions.net.
What if hiring could be easier, less time-consuming, with more qualified candidates and faster results? What if hiring could be smarter? Thanks to ZipRecruiter, it can be. With one click, post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards so you don't spend time wondering where the right candidates are searching. Then ZipRecruiter uses its smart matching technology to scan millions of active resumes and notify the most qualified candidates to apply for your job. And the ZipRecruiter dashboard makes it easy to review, rate, and contact candidates all in one place. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter makes it simple for growing businesses of all sizes to hire the right people, no matter the industry. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
We're so confident ZipRecruiter will get you the results you need. We'll let you try it free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You know us for marking down prices, but this time we've taken it to the extreme.
How extreme?
The 2017s have got to go. A 2017 Hyundai Santa Fe Sport 2.4L SUV. Now with combined dealer discounts and rebates up to $4,756. Now just $25,164. Finley Hyundai is making extreme markdowns to move out all remaining 2017 models. Like a 2017 Hyundai Elantra Limited Sedan with volume discounts up to $4,836. Your price, only $18,939.
Get extreme markdowns on every new 2017 Hyundai car, truck, and SUV.
A 2017 Hyundai Tucson SASUV comes with a combined dealer discounts up to $3,888. Now just $24,372. Plus, every Hyundai comes with America's best warranty, the 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. That's Hyundai Assurance.
Don't wait.
Take advantage of prices you may never see again.
And save thousands today.
Rush to Finley Hyundai Prescott and online at FinleyHyundaiPrescott.com.
Unapproved credit plus tax, title license, and dealer installed accessories. And $495.3 must qualify for all rebates and discounts. Stock number H36-863, H36-356, H36-341.
We're KQ&A.
Good afternoon, and thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, your choice for your Wednesday. I'm Link Elliott with a check of news and weather together on Q&A with DJ Phone, brought to you by Wallach & Volk. The case of missing teacher Catherine Grosby is now classified as a homicide.
The 44-year-old Catherine Grosby went missing on Friday, October 6th, after she bailed 27-year-old Charlie Malzahn out of the Coconino County Jail. A body that's believed to be Grosby's has been found in Yavapai County.
The remains were located on private property off Nugget Mine Road in Mare. The suspect in the case, Charlie Malzahn, ultimately gave investigators some details and directions, which led law enforcement to narrow the scope of the search.
Flagstaff Police Sergeant Cody Runge says this wasn't the result they wanted when they started the search for the missing Glendale teacher.
While it's not a surprise that this is the result, it is disheartening. And our heart and condolences go out to not only the family and friends of Catherine, but also to her community where she is beloved.
An autopsy completed in Yavapai County has determined the manner of death to be a homicide. Investigators are working with the Coconino County Attorney's Office on potential charges that could be filed. I'm Bill Monroe reporting.
Fire crews have kept busy over the past couple of days. On Monday, Prescott National Forest fire crews responded to the 1.5-acre charcoal fire, which started just off the Green Gulch Trail in the Blue Hills area of Dewey-Humboldt. Yesterday, forest crews responded to the Empire Fire in Groom Creek off Beth Lane and Senator Highway. According to Incident Commander James Robbins from Arizona Department of Forestry and Fire Management, the 1-acre fire burned a storage shed and threatened 10 homes. Engines and water tenders from Groom Creek and Prescott Fire Departments and the Central Arizona Fire and Medical Authority, along with 36 personnel, got a containment line around the fire. Both fires are believed to be human-caused and are under investigation. The Arizona Coyotes lost to the Dallas Stars 3-1 last night. The Coyotes take on the Stars in a rematch at 7 tomorrow night, and all the live action can be heard right here on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Taking a look now at your KQ&A weather. Partly cloudy tonight with a slight chance of showers Thursday, clearing up for a sunny and breezy weekend. Expect an overnight low of 51 tonight in the Prescott area, with a high of 76 tomorrow and a high of 71 on Friday. 52 degrees tonight for Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, with a high on Thursday of 86 and a high on Friday of 83. Q&A will continue after this. I'm Link Elliott for the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM and at 95.5 FM. KQ&A.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
The Bolleri Professional Building, home to Prescott's premier high-tech business suites, located right in the heart of downtown Prescott. Bolleri Business Suites feature high-speed internet, covered parking, and a climate-controlled environment designed for business, medical, legal, and most any general office purpose. New one-year leases available with one additional month free. Call 445-7191 or go to BolleriProfessionalBuilding.com for more information. The Bolleri Professional Building, Prescott's business address.
At Findlay Automotive Group Prescott, we believe in paying it back. Investing in our community is a great way to give back to those who have helped support our business. Volunteer groups and nonprofit organizations do so much to help our communities that all of us are a part of, but can't do it alone.
One out of every eight women will develop breast cancer in her lifetime, which means you probably know someone who has fought against it. Breast cancer affects us all, our friends, our family, our community. With your help, we will change that statistic. So join the fight. If not for yourself, for someone you love, and remind others to be strong.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month at Findlay Automotive Group Prescott. We will donate $50 for every new and used vehicle sold to the local American Cancer Society. National Breast Cancer Awareness Month is a chance to raise awareness about the early detection of breast cancer. Let's all make a difference. Findlay Automotive Group Prescott, Toyota, Subaru, GMC, Buick, and Hyundai. Not just better dealerships, but great community partners.
Listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities KQNA. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Welcome back to Q&A. We have on the phone Jason Riley. He is an acclaimed Wall Street Journal columnist and a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He has written a book called False Black Power? ? At the end. It explains why growing black political power has not delivered the prosperity that proponents said would follow. Mr. Riley, why did you write False Black Power?
Well, I thought that the end of the Obama presidency would be a good time to test a strategy that had been put in place by the civil rights leadership back in the 1960s, and that is to elect more black officials. The thinking was that if we could just put more black politicians in office, economic prosperity for blacks would follow accordingly. It would flow naturally from accumulating more political clout. And I thought the Obama presidency was really the culmination of that strategy. Like I said, which had been put in place back in the 60s, or became really more focused on back in the 60s. And I wanted to look back and say, well, we've had a twice elected black president, lots of black mayors, governors, congressmen, and so forth. Has the black prosperity followed suit?
And why do groups, do you believe, like NAACP and activists like Al Sharpton show such little interest in reconsidering their political strategy?
Well, I think it's because their agenda is to serve the interest of what's best for the NAACP or what's best for Al Sharpton. In other words, they pursue an agenda that keeps them relevant, whether or not that strategy is helping the people that they claim to represent.
Now, you work for the Wall Street Journal, you write for the Journal, so you would know this. Despite remarkable political successes for blacks in recent decades, the racial gaps in income, employment, poverty, home ownership, academic achievement, crime, and other measures still continue. Why do you think these gaps persist?
Yes, they have continued, and they've continued notwithstanding the fact that the civil rights strategy has succeeded on its own terms. In other words, we have elected a lot more black officials over the past 50 years. In fact, between 1970 and 2010, the number of black elected officials in the U.S. grew from fewer than 1,500 to more than 10,000, including, of course, a twice elected black president. And by 1990 alone, there were more than 300 black mayors in America. Mayors of big cities with large black populations, Los Angeles, Chicago, Detroit, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, and not just black mayors, black police chiefs, black school superintendents. We've had black city councilmen. We've had racial gerrymandering that ensures that blacks will be elected to Congress and fill safe seats designed for them. And so despite all this tremendous political success, we still have, as you just described, racial gaps, racial disparities in everything from home ownership to income to poverty rates, educational attainment. Even under President Obama, we saw gaps in home ownership and household income and poverty, racial gaps, widen under Obama. And I think what this tells us is that political power in and of itself is neither necessary nor sufficient to close the racial gaps that we've seen. And I say it's not sufficient because we've had the black power, accumulated a tremendous amount of black power over the past five decades. I say it's not necessary because if you look back at what was going on, say, in the first half of the 20th century, before the civil rights activists adopted this strategy of pursuing more political power, back then you saw racial gaps in many areas shrinking, closing, narrowing. Slow but steady progress was being made. So we saw black-white gaps in incomes narrow, home ownership narrow, blacks entering the skilled professions narrow, the white-collar professions, white poverty rates narrow during this period. So during a period when there was a lot more racism than there is today, legal discrimination, and next to no black political clout, we saw racial gaps closing. Since the strategy has been adopted in earnest in the second half of the 20th century, those trends have either slowed, stopped entirely, or in some cases reversed course.
Your book notes that time spent integrating political institutions was, in one way, time not spent nurturing the attitudes, values, and behaviors that have powered the upward mobility of other groups. How do you feel about that?
Well, what I'm saying there is that back in the first half of the 20th century, the reason I think we saw the narrowing of these gaps is because blacks were focused on developing what economists call human capital, the right attitudes, the right behaviors, cultural traits, values that I think are helpful, are conducive to rising in a free market capitalist society. And when the focus was on that, on the nuclear family, and so forth, I think we saw progress. You know, as late as 1960, two out of three black kids were raised by a mother and a father in this country. Today, more than 70% are not. And in many of our inner cities, it's as high as 80 or 90%. And I think that has, in and of itself, has had a huge impact. The breakdown of the black family has had a huge impact on the lack of more socioeconomic progress, which of course transcends into many other areas, whether we're talking about poverty rates or involvement with the criminal justice system, just on down the line. So I think there was a time when blacks were more focused on the development of that human capital, and it served us very well. And since we've moved away from that, at the urging of black leaders, we haven't seen those positive trends continue, or at least not continue at the rate at which they were happening before.
Are black leaders and civil rights leaders, are they doing a disservice when they push for government solutions to problems that have more to do with culture?
Oh, absolutely. I think they absolutely are. This does not suggest that blacks should disengage from politics or not run for office or not vote or anything along those lines. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is an over-reliance on politicians to solve problems that blacks face today. Therein lies the problem. And in that sense, you know, black politicians are behaving like other politicians. What we're learning is that many of the agendas of a politician don't necessarily coincide with the agendas of the people that they claim to represent. What I'm also getting at here is that politics is not the most efficient way to move a group from poverty to prosperity. It can happen, but it's just not the most efficient way. It's not the route that most groups have taken in America in their rise out of poverty. And so if you look at the route that the Germans took, the Italians took, or Jews took to rise out of poverty in America, they typically did not focus on electing, quote-unquote, their own to office. That was not the focus. Focus was on developing culturally, developing the habits and behaviors and attitudes that would help them rise economically. Later, they got interested in electing politicians from their own ethnic backgrounds, but that was not the focus initially. One exception, and it's worth noting this, are the Irish. The Irish came and did focus on politics, just as blacks have, and were tremendously successful, just as blacks have been. In the early 1920s and late 1800s, you saw Irish running, political machines running large cities like Philadelphia, Boston, New York. But at the time, the average Irish American was not doing very well. The Irish middle class was not growing, and it was quite small. And it wasn't really until the decline of those political machines that we saw the rise of the Irish middle class, to the point where today the Irish American is earning more, better educated than the average American. So politics is one way to go. It's just not the most efficient way. And that is why I think the black leadership would be wise to revisit this strategy.
Mr. Riley, do you think over the past 30 or 40 years, the national media, news media, has been too gentle on these issues?
I think they've been very skittish when it comes to talking about the role that black culture plays in racial disparities. Country. Yes, absolutely. And I talk about that quite a bit in False Black Power, mostly through a discussion of what a couple black sociologists, a very prominent black sociologist, William Julius Wilson and Orlando Patterson, both of Harvard right now. And they've talked about their fellow social scientists' unwillingness, skittishness about talking about the role of black culture and how they're not doing low-income blacks any favors by avoiding this topic, avoiding this discussion. And it's something that really dates back to the Moynihan Report that came out in the mid-1960s, which talked about the disintegration of the black family and the economic consequences that would follow suit. And Moynihan took a lot of criticism for that. There were major civil rights victories happening at the time, and people said that he was raining on their parade. They said, let's just focus on the political advancement of blacks. The rest will take care of itself, and we don't need this sort of criticism right now. And Moynihan was ostracized. He was heavily criticized, both by academics and by the civil rights leadership. And since then, a lot of social scientists and a lot of politicians, frankly, have shied away from going there, so to speak, talking about the role of culture. But it's hard to see how we are going to really address some of these pressing problems in low-income black communities unless we're honest in our discussion.
On that point, do you feel political correctness has hurt the black cause because those who want to speak the facts are sometimes branded racist?
Yes, absolutely. I think absolutely. That is still, that charge of racism still stings in our society. And so, yes, people feel that, you know, it's not my problem. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to take the criticism for speaking up about some of these issues. We also, however, have a political party in this country, the Democrats, that do quite well politically by playing up racism as an all-purpose explanation for racial disparities, and also suggesting that the government can solve the problems in these communities if only we spend enough money on them, and telling blacks that you are not responsible for any of these disparities we see today, for these high crime rates, for these incarceration rates, for this lagging academic achievement, for these low marriage rates, for these fatherless. That's none of your fault. This is all a legacy of racism, a legacy of slavery, a legacy of Jim Crow. And so that is the message that gets out there. Blacks are encouraged to see themselves as victims and to look to the government to solve their problems. And for one party, you know, that gets people to the polls and helps them get elected. So they continue to push that message, even though I believe it's doing quite a bit of harm in terms of closing these racial gaps.
Is racial discrimination still, you think, a major barrier to black advancement?
No, I don't think it is. I think racism still very much exists in this country, and I don't expect to live to see the day when it doesn't. But that is different from believing that racism is the biggest barrier to black progress today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it is, and I don't believe it has been for a long time. And one of the reasons is because, as I discussed in False Black Power, you can look back at the progress being made by blacks in the 1920s and 30s and 40s. So generations of blacks that were living through Jim Crow, only a generation or two removed from slavery, yet they were making tremendous economic progress in this country at a time when the government was at best indifferent to them and at worst hostile to their efforts to improve themselves. Yet we saw tremendous black gains when it comes to leaving poverty, educational attainment, entering white-collar professions. Blacks were closing the gap with whites. Again, slow but steady progress was being made. Today, I think a black person in America is more likely to encounter a racial preference than a racial slight. And that was not true of blacks 50, 60, 70 years ago. So no, I don't think that that racism is a major barrier today, even though I still believe that racism exists.
What do you think of the Black Lives Matter movement and its claims about policing, racial profiling, and the criminal justice system?
Well, I don't have a problem with a group like Black Lives Matter going after police misconduct. I don't think the police are saints. I think they make mistakes. I think there is corruption that exists in the criminal justice system and in our police departments, and I don't have a problem with a group calling that out. My problem is when you try to explain racial disparities in the criminal justice system through that prism and that prism only, as if police brutality or racist cops or judges or prosecutors explain the black incarceration rates that we see today. I don't believe that's true. In fact, I think that's laughable. It just does not stand up to scrutiny. The idea that the main problem in these black ghettos is policing rather than the behavior of, the young men, mostly young men, in these neighborhoods, I think is a false narrative that the Black Lives Matter movement has been pushing and that too many on the left have been indulging. And, there are a number of statistics that bear this out. For instance, we don't have a national database on police shootings in this country. Maybe we should have one. I wouldn't be opposed to putting something like that together. But the reality right now is that different police departments keep different levels of detail when it comes to the conduct of their officers and using lethal force. But we do know that in New York City, which is the nation's largest police department, they have kept detailed records on police shootings going back to the early 1970s. And if you go back to 1971, the earliest records that they have, there were about 314 police shootings in New York City in that year, with more than 90 fatalities, around 96 fatalities. You fast forward to 2015, you're down to 26 police shootings and 8 fatalities. So that's a greater than 90% reduction in both police shootings and police shooting fatalities over the past 4.5 decades in the nation's largest police department in the nation's largest city. And New York City is not alone in this reduction in the use of force by police over the decades. Yet you have a movement out there, the Black Lives Movement, premised on the notion that cops are increasingly gunning down young black men. It just does not square with the facts. And that's my problem with the movement. I think that their focus on the police is misplaced. And the problem there is not just that it's a false narrative, it's worse than that. I think it's going to impact how these communities get policed and impact it in the worst way. You're going to end up with cops who are less likely to leave their cars, to engage, to go about their jobs proactively, which gives the bad guys the upper hand. And the bad guys focus on the law-abiding members of these communities, which, of course, is the majority of people in these communities. So I think this false narrative, which could lead to cops not doing or being as aggressive as we'd like them to be in these communities to keep them safe, is another bad outcome of this false narrative that the groups like Black Lives Matter are pushing.
Are there any specific policies that you would support that would incentivize black self-help and the acquisition of what you call human capital?
I think this is something that the black community is going to have to figure out on its own. I don't think the solutions are going to come from black political saviors. We don't need another Obama. We don't need another Martin Luther King. That's not what's needed. What's needed is for these black communities to get their act together. There are things I think federal government can do, or that the government can do and politicians can do, to not exacerbate the situation. And I've called for things like school choice, which I think inner-city blacks support tremendously, but black politicians often do not because they take money from teachers' unions, which oppose school reforms like that. I think that these occupational licensing requirements, which keep young black budding entrepreneurs from, say, starting their own taxi cab service or hair braiding salon are very harmful. And I think that politicians can do something about that. I think lifting the minimum wage only prices younger, less experienced people out of the labor force, many of whom happen to be black. So I've long called for us to simply stop raising the minimum wage and making these people too expensive to hire. So there are a number of areas where I think policymakers could help things along, but ultimately I think these solutions are going to come from the black people living in these communities themselves.
The name of the book is False Black Power with a question mark on the end. The author is Jason Riley. Thank you for joining us today on Q&A. This is very informative and provocative reading.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with more on Q&A in just a moment on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and we stream live right to your smartphone at kqna.com.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec B Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Hi, I'm Jason Williams, the Trails and Wilderness Manager for the Prescott National Forest. I earned a bachelor's and a master's of arts in environmental studies and adventure education from Prescott College. Today, I am proud to make a difference in our community by working with community members on such projects as the Prescott Circle Trail and protecting our wilderness areas. My experience with Prescott College allows me to contribute by conserving our local public lands and providing opportunities for everyone to enjoy the great outdoors.
Prescott College, making a difference globally and locally, starting right here in Prescott.
At Findlay Subaru Prescott, we believe in making the world a better place. Findlay Subaru Prescott loves pets, and it's important to us that every pet has a happy home. So Saturday, October 21st, Findlay Subaru Prescott will host a pet adoption event at the Yavapai Humane Society, 1625 Sundog Ranch Road. For every new Subaru sold during October, Findlay Subaru Prescott will donate $100 to the Yavapai Humane Society. Afterward, stop by the dealership and take a look at the latest Findlay Subaru offerings, with APRs as low as 0% for 63 months on all new 2017 Legacy, Forester, and Outback models, 0.9% on all new 2017 Impreza and Crosstrek models, 2.9% on all 2017 WRX models, and as low as 1.9% APR financing on all new 2017 BRZ models. Plus, special finance rates starting as low as 1.49% on Subaru Certified Pre-Owned during our Love Strikes Twice sales event. Join us for a pet adoption event at the Yavapai Humane Society on Saturday, October 21st with Findlay Subaru Prescott and at FindlaySubaruPrescott.com.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Who doesn't want to save money and support your local community? Hi, this is David A. Snyder, CPA, MBA, and EA. Now is the time to find out what Arizona tax credits you qualify for. Currently, only 10% of people use Arizona tax credits to benefit our hometown community. You're going to pay the money anyway, so why not keep the money local and give to places that you choose instead of the state government? Give me a call or visit DavidASnyderCPA.com for more information. You deserve the sharpest in Arizona. David A. Snyder, CPA.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And we are back live at 3:54. I got some interesting notes here from Mona Charon, the syndicated columnist, talking about the legacy of the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. She talks about him saying a recurring theme in his life was the purpose of education, which he believed was not only to instill knowledge, but also to build character. Scalia quoted his own father, a professor of Romance languages and no intellectual slouch himself, who advised, quote, "Brains are like muscles. They can be rented by the hour. The only thing that's not for sale at any price is character." And she writes, "Scalia's mind sparkled like a gem, but perhaps in our turbulent time, the most important takeaway from this collection is the lesson it teaches about civility. The national mood has changed even just since Scalia's death. So many of us today are marinating in the pleasures of hatred. Justice Scalia was one of the most skilled polemicists of our time, but he was the opposite of a hater. He had an open, generous nature. Some of the eulogies he offered for friends are included in Scalia Speaks, and they convey just how perceptive and appreciative he was. The most important things in his life, work, family, attitude, and piety, are the things that he treasured in others." And here's the real kicker. He didn't allow political differences to poison personal relationships. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was among his closest friends, and he taught Justice Elena Kagan how to hunt. Justice Antonin Scalia. Only if we had more people like him today. Well, the local chapter of the Free Wheelchair Mission, hosted by Susan and Joe Rubio, is having their big fundraiser at the club at Prescott Lakes on Thursday the 23rd from 5 to 8 p.m. Free Wheelchair Mission is a humanitarian, faith-based nonprofit that so far has provided more than 1 million sturdy wheelchairs for disabled people in 93 countries around the world, including some of the poorest on the planet. Now, that fundraiser will feature Free Wheelchair Mission founder Don Schoendorfer, who will be my guest here on Monday, right before that big fundraiser. And at the fundraiser, they will show the documentary, Because No One Should Have to Crawl. You can call Susan Rubio at 949-633-7894 or go online to freewheelchairmission.org/Prescott Miracle. Stay tuned now for Talk of a Town Prescott, hosted by City Councilman Steve Siska. Then join me Thursday at 3 o'clock for Q&A, when my guests will be anti-bullying advocate and Daily Courier columnist Rhonda Orr from Rhonda's Stop Bullying Foundation. We'll also have Tom Agostino tomorrow with updates on folk music concerts and happenings at the Highland Center for Natural History. That's Thursday at 3 o'clock on Q&A, when I will see you on the radio.
Been listening to Q&A on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by Prescott College, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and the Prescott Chamber of Commerce. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Cottonwood and Prescott Valley, KQ&A.